Hello, I just thought I'd take a couple of minutes this morning and hopefully encourage your heart from God's Word. I would imagine most of you somewhere in your home have, probably in your kitchen, in a cabinet somewhere, you have a blender. You can take that blender and make all sorts of great things, or you could make some pretty gross things. Perhaps if you were preparing for some food challenge for some sort of game for teenagers or kids or something like that, and you had to eat these different food items, you might get your blender out and throw all sorts of stuff in there. Maybe some rotten bananas, some hot sauce, some yogurt, I don't know, some tomatoes, like whatever you can find in your fridge sitting around. You just throw it all in the blender, press the button, get it all mixed up, and pour a cup of that and say, "Here, try this." And watch your friend gag as they try to drink whatever awful concoction you just put together. Or on the flip side of that, you could take your blender and you could throw fruit in there, lots of different fresh fruits, and mix it all up. And you could make an awesome smoothie that would have all sorts of health benefits and simultaneously taste awesome. Blenders are pretty cool things. Here's what I want to ask you. What happens when we take the attributes of God, and then it's almost like we start to take those and drop them all in the blender and mix them up? I think it's a pretty cool thing to do. I mean, take any attribute of God, a couple of them at a time, put them in the blender, mix them together, and what realities or dynamics do you come up with? And that's what I want to do with you today, is just take a few attributes of God, and let's mix them together. Let's stir them up and see what we get. I think what happens in our Christian life sometimes is we tend to forget what God is like, or we'll look at maybe even one of his attributes in isolation from others. And sometimes we take those attributes too far to an extreme where they're not balanced by other attributes as well, and that we think wrong about God. And God is actually amazing. He's awesome. He's perfect in all of his attributes. And you mix them together and you look at those attributes together and you just marvel at who God is. And that God is so awesome. We want to praise him. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 2 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts." So let's take three attributes today and briefly look at them. The first attribute that I want you to think about is the fact that God is powerful. In Genesis 17, verse 1, we read this: "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty.'" The Hebrew name there is El Shaddai. "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." The Almighty. What a title. What a name. And we see God's power displayed, the fact that he is the Almighty One. We see that displayed all throughout Scripture. God created the whole universe with the word of his mouth. He just spoke it into existence. And even now, he's maintaining it and holding everything together in his power. All throughout Scripture, we see him performing miracles like parting the Red Sea and stilling storms and walking on water. We know as well that God controls the course of history, and that ultimately he requires everyone to give an account to him. Everyone must stand before this king. That's power. And it's awesome that God is infinite in power, that he's mighty, he's unstoppable. That's pretty cool, right? Well, not necessarily. That could be a huge problem, actually. Who comes to your mind when you think about some of the most powerful men in history, whether modern history or ancient history? Think about who's been powerful on the face of this globe. Obviously, lots of people have. Perhaps some of the people that would come to your mind would be people like Alexander the Great. And then there was Attila the Hun, and Napoleon, and Hitler, and Mussolini, and Stalin. All of those men had great power. Lord Acton said that power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Great men are almost always bad men. That's a definitely an interesting quote. When someone is powerful but morally bankrupt, it is a horrifying thing, isn't it? Do we have any assurance that God Almighty is different? Yes, in fact, we do. Let's throw another attribute of God into the blender. If we just look at this attribute of God's power, we might come to wrong conceptions about God. We might think that he is morally debased, that he's just going to use all of his power to harm us, that he doesn't care, that he's not interested in us. But what happens when all of a sudden, in the blender with God's power, we throw in there God's goodness? That's our second attribute. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Taste and see. You can experience the goodness of God. And God's goodness manifests itself in so many ways, in different other attributes that would fall under that category of goodness. God is compassionate. He shows pity. He is tender and loving and loyal and faithful and true and honest and merciful and forgiving. And through, no matter how you look at God, he is good. Now, I would imagine for many of you that all of those things that I just mentioned, your mom is many of those things to some degree. She's compassionate. She has pity. She's probably very forgiving of you. so many different things like that. She's tender and loving and loyal and faithful. Hopefully, I'm sure that's not the case for everyone with their mother. But you think of your mom, and she's so many of those things. Question. Can your mom fix all of your problems? Nope. She's really not that powerful. No matter how nice she is, no matter how loving she is, no matter how kind she is, can she fix all of your problems? Absolutely not. And I think we have a reminder here that who cares if God is good if he doesn't have the ability to act on that goodness? You and I have met some very nice people in the world who really couldn't help us. And again, I think going back to this blender idea, thankfully God's goodness isn't the only attribute in the blender, isn't it? Is it? What do we have in the blender so far? Well, God is good, like we've just talked about, but before that, he's powerful, and those two things get mixed together. What happens when you mix God's power and goodness together? Well, what a God we have. A God who cares and is powerful and has the ability to act on that goodness and help us. And a God who's not just powerful, but is good and compassionate with that power. But it doesn't stop there. We're going to throw a third attribute in the blender here today, and that is that God is present. He's always present. Jeremiah 23, verse 23, God says there, "Am I a God at hand?" He's asking a question. "Am I a God at hand," declares the Lord, "and not a God far away?" And God's making the point there that he is near. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength." And then it says, "a very present help in trouble." You may remember 1 Kings 18, where Elijah is on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and they're having this showdown, and Elijah's built his altar. The prophets of Baal have built their altar, and they're going to cry out to their gods, asking their gods to send fire down from heaven and consume their sacrifice. And the prophets of Baal go first, and for hours they cry out to Baal, and they walk around their altar praising him and summoning him and cutting themselves, trying to appease Baal, praying that he'll send down fire from heaven. And of course he doesn't. Baal, as it were, is nowhere to be found. And Elijah actually starts to mock the prophets of Baal. And I don't know, there's something about my junior high sense of humor that just loves what Elijah says. In 1 Kings 18, verse 27, it says, "And at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is a God.' either he is musing or he's relieving himself. Perhaps he ran off to the washroom, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened. Isn't that great, the way Elijah just mocks this false god and his prophets? Psalm 121 verse 4 says of our God that he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. All those things that Elijah was mocking Baal for, the exact opposite's the case with God. God doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't disappear. He never takes a nap. He never needs a quick snooze. He never has to run off to the washroom. He's always there. He's always present to help you. So what do we have in our blender? We have a God who is not only powerful, he's good. And not just those two things. He's present. God is able, he's good, and he's there. Those are some realities that you don't want to forget. And in fact, you can anchor your life to those things today. Whatever's going on, whatever you're thinking about, whatever's on your mind and your heart, whatever's weighing you down, whatever you have in front of you, your God is powerful. He's good. He cares. And he's right there with you in the thick of it. God is awesome. And I hope that you will praise him today for all of his wonderful attributes.